Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I know
that.
Okay. Thank you again, everybody, for coming. It's just great to have people. I get to talk once a year. People listen to me once a year. At least I have a good excuse. The occasion of the 20th yahrzeit of Rav Yaakov Ben Chaim Yosef, my father-in-law. As I've said every year, I began learning with him. Actually, one of the most startling things I have to say about him is that he never criticized me. And I can't say that I'll be as generous to
the next generation.
I don't know that I'll be as generous to the next generation, God willing. But it's probably an example to be followed. He never told me what to do. There were a lot of things that I didn't know what to do, and you know, I would sort of watch him. And I remember the first time this was a very strange dating process. Suddenly, I was staying there every Shabbos. And, you know, just getting into the swing of things. So they brought me to Chovavei Torah, and before I knew it, they gave me the Haftorah. I never haven't seen it and didn't say a Haftorah for at least, since my Bar Mitzvah, I probably didn't say a Haftorah, and so they put it in front of me. So that was a bit of a culture shock. And then, as I've told you before, and many of you know that he was a great storyteller, we spoke to our friend, our Yerushalmi Sofer, who lives in Montreal, Rafi Shabtai, yesterday, and he used the phrase "mole karimon," that he was full of Torah, mole karimon, and the rimon is supposed to have 613 seeds representing the mitzvos, however you take it, but that is where it all began. And by the way, I have it all recorded. I have 30 hours of him, which I finally put on CD. I keep meaning to make a lot of copies of them, but it was either that or do the shiur. So I'll have to get the CDs to you another time. In any event, the topic today is really Torah Shebaal Peh, and Zev Mizelis asked me a very good question. He said, I thought you were talking about Ayin Tachat Ayin. You're announcing Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the title. So it was really a very good question, because Ayin Tachat Ayin is obviously a phrase from the Torah. And yet I want to talk about Torah Shebaal Peh, and yet the topic is Ayin Tachat Ayin. So with that, you see my outline. I have the talk divided into three sections. I think I'll be able to finish most of this, even though it looks like a lot. Although I double-sided it, so maybe I figured it would take less time if I on two sides, you know, less paper. And there are three things here. I first want to do the Rambam and Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. And I gave you, I'm not going to give you his biography. Tzvi Hirsch Chayes lived, you can see, looks 1805 to 1855, which means he only lived to age 50, which is astonishing, especially when you begin to read his works, and they're so profound and so wonderfully written. Of course, I can only appreciate it in the last few years, but he's one of the giants now in my repertoire. I outlined one little line there in this Encyclopedia of Judaica, where it says that he was a rabbi for a brief period in the city of Kalish. So I wanted the Kalish contingent to be here when I said this in the introduction, because I don't know if he's related, I doubt it, but he was in Kalish, and there it is. So, but he's quite an outstanding Talmud Chacham, and I don't hear him mentioned or cited too often. I think Rabbi Wein may have a tape on him, which I'll have to review, but in the meantime, so we'll get started. For the Rambam and Chayes, I want to first introduce the topic of Torah Shebaal Peh. So on page 2A, I hope you can all see the page numbers. I think they're pretty prominent on the left-hand or the right-hand lower corner. First of all, we have the Hakdamah to the Mishnah. And the Rambam writes, Ki kol mitzvah shenatana kadosh baruch hu l'moshe rabbeinu, alav hashalom natna lo b'peirusha. That every mitzvah that God gave to Moshe was given with its peirush, with its explanation. Haya omer lo ha-mitzvah, God would say the mitzvah over to Moshe, v'yachakach omer lo perusha v'inyana, and then he would say the perush with it, v'chol mashehu kolel sefer ha-Torah, and everything that's in the sefer, written in our Torah, v'inyan limudo li-Yisrael haya kafi she'omalacha haya, all right, and then it goes on. I just wanted you to see that very beginning of his introduction to the Hakdama, where he clearly states that everything that God said to Moshe was given, or that was written in the Torah was given with a perush. And then he repeats this in his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, which is on the left-hand column, line one. It's a check mark. Kol haMitzvot shenitnu lo leMoshe beSinai bePerushan nitnu shenema. And now a quote from the Torah: Ve'enalacha et haLuchot haEven. Et luchot ha'even, I will give you the tablets, v'ha Torah, and the Torah, v'ha mitzvah, and the mitzvah, and the citation in Shemos. Torah, so what is Torah? Zu Torah shebichtav, v'ha mitzvah zu perusha. So the mitzvah is the word mitzvah means explanation. Mitzivanu la'asot ha'Torah al pi ha'mitzvah. And we are commanded to observe the rules of the Torah according to the mitzvah, the perush, the explanation. U'mitzvah zu, hi ha'nikrei Torah sheba'alpeh. This concept of mitzvah is what we are going to call Torah sheba'alpeh. Kol ha'Torah katva Moshe Rabbeinu kodem shiyamut. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah before he died. We won't get into the question of the last 10 or 15 lines of the Torah. And he wrote it biyado, bichtav yado, in his own hand. V'natan sefer lechol shevet b'shevet, and he gave a copy to each tribe of Israel. V'sefer echad natna ba'aron la'ed, and one additional sefer was put into the aron as a witness. Shenema lakoch et sefer ha'Torah hazeh v'samta oto. I guess it says ba'aron. V'hayaz sham b'cha la'ed. So this Torah that you are writing, Moshe Rabbeinu, should be put into the ark and set up as a witness. Now, I really didn't explore what that meant, and we're going to go over it, but leave it as a question, because we don't have to answer every question that comes up as it comes up, but we'll have to remember the questions, or as Rilke, the German poet, would say, you have to live the question sometimes. So then, Elatzival Balak Lizakenim. I missed something here. V'hamitzvah, the mitzvah, which he peirush haTorah, which is the explanation of the Torah, lo katva. Moshe Rabbeinu did not write down the explanations. That's another question. Why not? But that's a maharal that we'll have to deal with in my next shiur. Lo katva ela tziva ba, but it's a very serious question. Maharal asked that. Why didn't he write everything down? Could write everything down, and we won't have any problems. What?
He didn't have a Xerox.
I have a Xerox. He still had an answer. But in any event, lo katva ela tziva ba lezakenim b'le Yehoshua b'le Sha'ah kol Yisrael. So Moshe handed over the Torah Shebal Peh to the Zakenim and to Yoshua and the rest of Israel, Shenema, et kol ha'dava asher anochi metzaveh etchem oto tishmeru. Everything that I am commanding you, that you will guard, la'asot, to make sure that you do it, u'mipnei zeh nikrei Torah Shebal Peh. And because of this, this is called Torah Shebal Peh, because it was handed on orally. Af al pi shalom nikhtava Torah Shebal Peh, line 12. And even though the Torah Shebal Peh was not written down, Limdam Moshe Rabbeinu Kula, Bevet Dino, L'Shivim Zakenim. So Moshe Rabbeinu continued to learn this Torah Shebal Peh with the 70 elders in his Beit Dino, or his Sanhedrin type of congregation there, or Elazar Pinchas v'Yehoshua shloshtam kiblu mimosha. So Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua. I don't know, Rabbi. Were they in this shivim zakenim? Maybe they weren't. But they had different functions. So, nevertheless, he learned it with the sons of Aaron and with Yehoshua. But Yehoshua shehu talmido shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yehoshua was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. Masat Torah shebaal peh. V'tzivahu aleha, and Yehoshua in turn handed down Torah Shebaal Peh, v'chein Yehoshua v'chol yemei chayav limad al peh, and all the days of his life Yehoshua taught Torah Shebaal Peh, uzakenim rabim kiblu mi Yehoshua. Actually, if you analyze what is said here, you have people who received the Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe Rabbeinu, and you had Yehoshua, and Yehoshua handed it on. But there was already, by the time of Yehoshua, Yehoshua was not the only repository of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's clear. Mm-hmm. So he had multiple sources of Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll leave that. Hamaskil Yidom, maybe he'll get the question. There's a question there. But, in other words...
The next line, actually...
If you, what is that? I was finished with that page, but tell me what you want to say. Right. And went for... Oh, where is it? Kibel Eli min hazakenim. Oh, not from Yehoshua. Good. Right. Upinchas uShmuel kibel meEli uVeitino. So there is a question that you didn't have just one line of transmission, even from the time of Yehoshua, but you had multiple lines of transmission. On the next page, which is not numbered, let me see where we are. Oh yes, 2B is next. I get mixed up with the two-sided because I can't figure out where I am once I turn the page. This is Tzvi Hirsch Chayes in his... this is an article he called Ma'ama Torah Sheba'al Peh, and it's worth spending lots of time on, but we just do a small section on it. Ra'inu, you see the where I marked it off there, I didn't number it. In the center column, Ra'inu ki adat ha-ma'aminim b'torat, the group of people who are faithful b'torat Moshe, mechuyavim gam ken la'amin emuna shlema ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu masala Moshe b'ha-sinai peyushe ha-mitzvah. They must believe as part of their emuna that God gave the Torah Shebaal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'ein le'ish Yisrael chelek v'nachala b'torat Moshe, im eino ma'amin b'torat Shebaal Peh. If you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, then you're not part of the inheritance of Moshe's Torah. So that it's a necessary... I was almost beginning to think, I haven't analyzed, I know many people talk about the word, using the word theology, and do we have a theology or don't we have a theology, and they get involved in the meaning of the word, but it occurred to me that if we have any type of theology besides the idea that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, maybe it is this, that Torah Shebaal Peh, that Moshe received Torah Shebaal Peh immediately, then and there, in that period of time. And obviously, if you don't believe it, everything falls apart, including the entire Gemara and all the learning that we have. On the left-hand column, why don't we do this? Umi shelo shema bo perush ha'inyanim ha-mistargim mehem. I'm still on 2B. I'm in the left-hand column. So if you haven't heard a perush, right? Mishalo shema bo perush ha'inyanim ha-mistargim mehem, which would explain the words of the Torah. Did I explain that right, Rabbi?
But
from Tirgum, right?
That result from
Torah Shabbat. I had trouble with that word, Hamis Targim. I think it's from Tirgum.
No.
What is the word?
It means things that that branch out.
That are the logical
next steps.
Extensions.
Okay. Is it a sin or a shin?
It's a sin.
You're right.
All right. All right. Hotzi dinim b'svarot. So then we can pull out halakas from these citations in the Torah, b'svarot, with reasoning, b'midot shlosh esrei, for the shlosh esrei, the 13 rules, hermeneutical rules which we had, hanidrashot, hanitanot al har Sinai, that were the 13 principles of hermeneutical rules, as they're called in English, that we have, are from Har Sinai, uva otam hadinim, and from these laws, shotziyo, that we pull out, yesh devarim shelo nafla bo machloket, there are certain, one of those, some of those derivations, there are no arguments about, v'yesh mehem shenafla bo machloket, and there are those that there are arguments about, ukeshahayta nofelet hamachloket, bein shtei deot. So then, when you do have machlokas, arguments over the proper derivation of halachas for using the 13 midos, hayahalchin achaharov. So then we resolve it by going after the majority of rabbanim, kamoshen ema acharei rabim lahatot, that you will go after the majority. All right. We'll turn to. What did I want here? We are now on, I guess, 3A, and it's not numbered because there was no room for it. All right, so then we're still in Svi Hirsch Chayas. I really wanted to learn this entire inyan, but I just picked out certain spots. And again, I'm just giving you a general introduction to the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh, and then we're going to actually get much more specific. With the Rambam, the Ha'ala Harambam. All right, I'm on line 5 on 3A, which is not numbered, and I'm sorry for that, but there was no room to number it. If you find 3B, turn the page back. How's that?
That's pretty logical.
And I'm in the middle column, and it's line 5. Ve'ala Harambam ikarim gadolim dehen beperushim hamukubalim kamo yad tachat yad haynu mamam. And the Rambam brought up certain basic or general principles beperushim in the explanation of the Torah, the perushim of the Torah, hamukubalim, which are received perushim, right? They're not just, he didn't just dream it up. Okay? Hamukubalim, kamo yad tachat yad, and we're going to come to that. Hainu mamon, that yad tachat yad means mamon, that a hand for a hand is, you have to understand it as meaning monetary compensation to the damaged party. Pri eitz hadar, means hainu etrog. It's not an apple, it's not a lemon, it's not an orange, it's an etrog. And again, we know this from Torah Shebaal Peh, v'katzota et kapa mamon. There's a phrase in the Torah where it states that you will cut off her hand. The explanation for this phrase is also mamon, v'chein sha'ahel kot misinai lo nimtza behem machloket b'shum pa'am. These explanations of the Torah that we are going to talk about, and specifically Ayin Tachat Ayin, are derived from Torah Shebaal Peh, and there is no machlokas, believe it or not, even though the Gemara has 2 or 3 pages on this, and in Baba Kama, Pei Gimel, and Pei Dalet, and they keep arguing the case, and we'll have to, not tonight, go over that Gemara to find out why, after all, if we know the explanation from Torah Shebaal Peh, so why did the Gemara give us 4 or 5 pages on this discussion, but we'll leave that question open also. So, but in any event, that we know these explanations from Sinai, and that there is no arguments, no machlokas about it. Now, if you go to the left-hand column again, where I have my, I guess it's line. I actually have numbers here, line 68, I think.
We don't have numbers.
We don't have 68.
Oh, same page?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Oh, so I think I... Well, I'm sorry. Nobody has numbers?
No, only you have numbers.
That's too bad. All right. But do you see the... do you see where it says im, where I have a line? I do have a line there, right?
No, not in my page.
Ooh. All right. So go to the third column, count up 5 lines.
Okay.
Im Einam, Nevi'im, Hem B'nei. All right. Now, start with Uvi Yerushalmi. Uvi Yerushalmi.
Fourth column.
The last word, the
fifth line from the bottom.
In the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Rosh Perek Ela Devarim, the Perek that begins Ela Devarim, which I did not look at inside, Amru, it says, the Af al Ika HaDavar in Pesach Doche Shabbat, Lo Kiblu de Roshotav, Ad Shema Halacha Ani Omea. The kiblu umiyad shenizkav the amachen mukubalni misham a mishamayev altanya. All right, I'm sorry. This is actually I meant to work this peyush over again, but basically what it says is there's a question about whether Pesach is doche at Shabbos, and whatever that means, and they didn't want to accept the explanation that was given forward until the person talking said, Halacha ani omer, I'm saying a halacha, v'kiblu, and then they kept it. Umiyad sheniskav ama kach mikubalni. He's mikubalni mishemayev avtalyan. And this is what I received from my rabbis, and then there was no machlokus about it. So the concept of Masorah, the concept of if something was given over orally, but if I can tell you who said it and where I got it from, suddenly there was no argument. That Yerushalmi I'll have to work over. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Huh? That was who was talking?
His rabbis were Shmuel and Aftalion.
Ah, okay. Now, on page 3B, things will get easier now. Good. I don't know how I missed that. Sorry.
Just wanted to see first in the way.
What I wanted to show you here, this is the Rambam back in his Hakdama to the Mishnah. And what he does here, and we're not going to do the entire Rambam that you see here, but we'll do enough of it to give you the understanding that Torah Sheba'al Peh is not some amorphous, huge body of knowledge that we can't quite systematized, but rather the Rambam put it into the five categories. And actually, after, even though I had seen this some years ago, thinking about it for this year, I realized how important this section of the Rambam is. I've never seen it taught, so to speak, and yet it helps order all of the things that we're doing in our learning, and to understand what the nature of Torah Sheba'al Peh is. And I just want to add to this that, you know, when people are new to learning or when they're not learners at all, and let's say, or people who are not learned in Judaism, they come up and they come to a class or they're sitting and learning with you and they read a pasuk in the Torah and say, well, I think it means this, you know. And the idea is that, well, I have an opinion too. I'm entitled to my opinion and this is what I think it means. And what the Rambam is showing here is that Torah Sheba'al Peh is not just erratic. It's not just hit and miss. There's a systematic form to it. And I think as we get into Ayin Tachat Ayin, you will begin to see that systematization. Obviously, the systematization is very complex, and it's different in each of the five cases. But let's go through this for a minute. We're going to be working mainly on Chelek HaRishon, and I think what we're going to do, I'm going to read these through, and then I'm going to go back to Chelek HaRishon and show you how Tzvi Hirsch Chayes explains it, and then we'll go into Ayin Tachat Ayin. Chelek HaRishon, Perushim, Mukubalim, Mipi Moshe, and this is the Rambam speaking. These are explanations received by Moshe v'yesh lehem remez b'katuv. There is a remez in the text of the Torah, which really means there's a pasuk in the Torah that we're dealing with. However you call it, the Rambam calls it a remez, the efsha lahotzi'am b'derech sevara. But it's possible that these perushim can be derived through reasoning. We don't necessarily need a pasuk in the Torah. V'zeh ein bo machloket, and there's no machlokas about this, aval kashiyome echad kach kibalti, which was at Yerushalmi that I cited, ein l'dabeh alav, then we do not argue with somebody. So if you're dealing with something in the area of Savara, but then somebody says, kibalti, I received this from my Rav, then we do not argue with the person, and we're going to come back to that.
Where did you see a scar here? Because it says
the
ain ra'ayot
alehem.
You're on a different line. You're on
the right. It's possible that you could have come up with these ideas, derech sevara. But that's not the basis on which we're going to rely upon in this these perushim of Chelek HaRishon. Chelek HaSheni, hadinim shenema behem halacha l'moshe misinai. This is the famous halacha l'moshe misinai. And what you must see here is ve'ein ra'ayot aleihem. There are no proofs for them, not in the Torah, kamo shezachanu v'zeh kamochein ein cholek alav. And there are no arguments over them either. So we know what the halachas l'moshe misinai are, and there are no machlokas about them, and there are no asmachtas that we can attach to them in the Torah Bechtav. Is that correct? Now, by the way, these first two sections of Torah Shebaal Peh, the whatever rules and regulations come out or understandings come out, these are on a deraisa level. This is Torah Misinai. Okay? Whether it's the Perush of the text of the Torah, or whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which has no reference in the Torah. And again, we can spend time in each one of these sections to figure out exactly what the details of them are and what they look like, but we'll only have time for Chelek HaRishon. Chelek Shashlishi, Hadinim Shotsi'u Al Darchei HaSavara. These are items that we pull out through reasoning, v'nafla bam machloket, and here we enter into the area of machlokes, kamo shezachanu, as I mentioned earlier in this text, the Hakdama, v'nifsak hadin behem al pi harov, and we go according to the rov in chelek shlishi dinim shotzi al dera al darchei hasavara. And then u'mipnei kach omrim, and therefore it says im halacha. If somebody says it's a halacha, meaningly he received it as an oral halacha from his rav, nekabel, then we accept it. The im ledin, but if he says ledin, meaningly that it was a savara, it was thought out through human reasoning processes, yes teshuva, it's possible to give a reply and to begin an argument with the person. We'll go a little further here. I don't know
what
if I...
What's the difference between halacha and din here?
Well, din means savara here. Halacha means kabbalah.
But one has a masara and the other one has a...
I have a masara. You have to sort of translate the lashon, you know.
I know. Im halacha, he ben halacha mekubel lipi moshe sheshlo...
If he mekal v'chome, for example, you learn something out based on a svara of a kal v'chome. He says over here, Yesh Malahashir, and he brought chaos. In other words, but there's room to have to read Machlokas.
So if you read on in the Rambam here, he says, "Aval naflaha machloket v'heim b'lo nishbabo halacha." Those things which are not going to be called halacha or transmitted from one rav to another, here we're entering into the area of machlokas, and then you'll find v'timsa b'chol Talmud, in all of the Talmud, shehem chokrim al ta'am hasavara. They're going to dig into these savaras, these reasoning processes, shehu goreim hamachloket, which causes all of the machlokas, bein hachokim yomim, and they're going to say, b'mai kor mipalgei. That's a standard phrase in the Gemara. It means, what are they arguing about? What's at stake? My Tama de Rabbi Poloni. What's the reason that Rabbi Poloni so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that? Okay, we're going to go on now. That's Chelek HaShlishi. And obviously there's a lot to deal with there. But we're going to go to 4A. Are these numbered at least?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. All right, I'm on the left-hand column, number 66. V'Chelek HaRavi'i Heim HaDinim Shetiknu HaNevi'im V'Chachamim V'Chol Dor V'Dor. In every generation, our Chachamim and our wise, our teachers and our prophets set up Gezerot. Kedei La'asot Sayag V'Gader L'Torah. In order to set up a fence and a getter for around the Torah. V'Aleihem Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Asotam. And the rabbis and the Nevi'im were commanded by God to do this. And how do we know this? V'husha amah b'ma'amah klali. Because we have a general principle stated in the Torah, in Vayikra, Ushmatem et mishmati. You will guard my guard, or guard my commandments, right? Shmatem et mishmati, u'ba'aba b'ha'kabbalah. The rabbis explain this as meaning, asu mishmeret l'mishmati. You will guard my commandments, or my, probably, I would think it's...
You'll make a guard, you'll make a station.
Right. The chachamim yikru otam gezerot. So these is the whole category of gezerot. And by the way, I have I bought a four-volume sefer in Israel by, I think, Stepansky was the author's name. And I couldn't resist it when I heard in Musar HaRav Kook. What? I don't know the first. And this Gezerot and Taka, and it's an incredible sefer. I read the first paragraph. But the trouble is, as your Hebrew improves, your ability to read things improves, and you want to read more, but you just can't read it all. It doesn't matter how well you read. So, but in any event, so now we have Chelek HaRavi'i, and that's the area of Gezerot. So what is Deraisa there? What is Deraisa there is the power that the Chachamim have to make Gezerot. But if a Rav makes how do you say it in singular? In Hebrew.
Gezerah.
So, is that would be the Rabbanan maybe, no?
But his authority.
But his authority is the
right. His authority to do such things derives from a Doraisa.
So now you'll see how all of this is falling into place, everything that you've ever heard. If you haven't delved into this, it all falls in. Now Chelek HaChamishi, the fifth section, Hem Hadinim Ha'asiyim Al Derech HaChakira V'HaHaskama B'Dvarim HaNoagim Bein B'nei Adam. Look at the words. These are the laws which... are made after we have investigated how people do things. B'dvarim ha-nohagim b'ein b'nei adam she'ein bam tosefet b'mitzvah v'lo gera'on. But these things should not be adding to the 613 mitzvos, nor taking away from them. Or, and a second part of this is b'dvarim she'hem to'elet livnei adam b'divrei Torah, things which benefit or enhance the observance of Torah or understanding of Torah, but divrei Torah, and they're called takanot u'minhagim. Okay, so I have on line 94 on the left hand side. We'll just give you a few examples so you'll get an idea of what takanot are. Moshe tiken lahem liYisrael sheyu shoalim b'doshim behilchot Pesach b'Pesach. Moshe set up a takana that, I guess, 30 days before Pesach, you should begin investigating and reviewing all the laws of Pesach. Rabbi, is that the Rabbanan or the Raisa, that Takana?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
So it's for Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's a Takana. Under the fifth Rabbanan category, it is not the Raisa. It's not Halacha.
Is it the Rabbanan?
Moshe Tikein.
Okay. Good. Good answer.
What his authority was, Al-Piyah Torah, Asher Yerubah.
And then on line 98, Hitkin Hillel Prusbul. So the whole takana, the whole institution of Prusbul is a takana. Prizbul is where you owe somebody money and you're not allowed to pay them interest. So we do it through the offices of a Bezdin, and we have a special document. We won't go into it now.
Shemitah. We still can't do the interest.
Right,
the Shemitah. Well, so where the Prizbul? What is, how does
it... Because
you're selling them to the Bezdin. So I said...
It's a debt, but it's not an interest.
Well,
it's a partnership agreement.
No, you're talking about...
Otherwise, nobody would ever extend loans before Shemitah, because they wouldn't be paid back. Or
all right, we'll leave Prizbul for the next talk. But Prizbul also is a takana. Takana. I would even wonder if I didn't get to ask you this question. The whole holiday of Hanukkah and Purim, are those takanot? So that gives you.
Well, they have Esther Minatora Minayan.
You would celebrate this day.
So, but it was a takana that was set up by...
That has earned the title of mitzvah d'rabbanan, one of the sheva mitzvahs of the
rabbanan.
But it derives from a takana.
Ketorah. At the end of Makot, it talks about the seven mitzvot that have the status of ketorah. Oh.
And then, now if you look back on the left-hand side, line 104, the Rambam here just summarizes what we've just read. In Cain... Kol adinim haniskarim b'mishnah nechlakim al elu hachamisha chalakim. All of the laws in the Mishnah are divided into five categories. Mehem, the first is perushim mekubalim mipi Moshe v'yesh lahem remez b'katuv. So those perushim that are received orally from Moshe Rabbeinu with a reference in the text of the Torah, or efshal liot sovrim alehem sevara. Or if there is no reference to them in the Torah, this is how I'm reading it now, it's possible to have derived these oral transmissions through Sevara, but nevertheless we receive them orally. Umehem, in the second category, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Okay, and there's no connection to the written Torah. Umehem, Masha Otziyu B'derech Hekesh U'Sevara. And those laws which the Rabbanim have derived through the reasoning processes and logic, uvo nafla hamachloket, and on that, that's a major area of machlokas, umehem gezerot, and then you have the gezerot, umehem takanot, and then you have the takanot. Okay. So now we've set up the area of Torah Sheba Al Peh.
Jerry?
Yes.
I know questions will be held, but these five sections he's introducing as, these are the five ways that laws that we have, the dinim that we have. This isn't necessarily giving us a parameter of Torah Shabbat Peh. He's not saying these five are all Torah Shabbat Peh.
Yes. Anything you do... If you read it, it says, if you read the beginning, Kol Hadinim Haniskarim B'Mishnah. All of the laws in the Mishnah, which obviously is the basis for the entire Gemara, on line 104. 4b, line 104. Kol hadinim haniskarim b'mishnah nechlakim al elu chamisha chalakim. So everything in the Mishnah can be categorized into these five areas. I think it's very important that whenever you're learning now, you can take this handout home and refer to the Rambam and to his five categories. It's an essential part of learning. So I want to go to Rab Tzvi Chayes Hirsch now on 5b. And you know what? Why don't we just review the Rambam's words? If we go back, keep one finger on what I say 5b, and just turn back to three b. And Chelak Harishon, I'm just going to read it again. Perushim mukubalim mipi Moshe v'yesh lahem remez b'katuv. Those perushim which are received from Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's a remez, there's a reference to them in the Torah. V'efshel otziyam b'derech sevara. The v'. Now I saw him later on. He said or. I think the v' means or. It's possible to derive these laws through sevara. But now, if you look how Tzvi Hirsch Chayes says it on 5b, Ofen Achad, the first way of this first section of Torah Shebaal Peh, which the Rambam spoke about, and which I, Tzvi Hirsch Kalisher, Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, is explaining, Hema Perusheha Mitzvot Asher Ba'u B'Torah Shebichtav B'Stam. And by the way, I have this in English on the very next page, but I don't like the English translation, even though it comes from an extremely important book, which is the translation of the Mavot HaTalmud. Tzvi Hirsch Chayes wrote this introduction to the Talmud, which is in English. I urge you, all of you who are learning. What? I have it around here. It's a very important book because it's such an important. But in any event, he says that the first area of Torah Shebaal Peh is explaining the mitzvos, which are written in the Torah spistam, without explanation or without, you know, we just see them there, but we're sort of maybe mystified by them and we don't know what they mean. V'lo nitzbareh lanu, it's not clear to us, kavanat hamikra, what the text intends to tell us. Bilti inyan hamukubal, unless we had a Torah Shebaal Peh. Kamo mitzvat lekicha aba'a minim, like when you have to take the four species, b'chaka asif at the sukkah's time, lo nadalanu im hakavana lekachat elu haminim biyad, we don't know if we should take these things in our hand, or letzorech sichuch, even for the purpose, maybe we should use the arba minim to cover the sukkah. I think that's what he's saying here. Kedat kutsat hakaruim, like karayim. So apparently the karites what were saying that you should take the arba minim and cover the sukkah with them. Oh boy. Umahi pre eitz hadar. What is this pre eitz hadar shenema b'torah? Imhu te'ena, is it a fig? Or tapuach, or an apple, or sha'apri, or some other type of fruit? Now, if you look on the left-hand column, we're going to skip, and I have another line there marking off a paragraph. V'chein, ne'etaku aleinu harbe perushim al hamikraot, ashe mitnagdim lepashtut hakatuv. We have many perushim on the Torah which go against the plain understanding of the text. Bahashkafa rishona, according to, I'll translate this, according to a first reading of the text. Kamoshin ema b'Torah, as it says in the Torah, ach b'yom harishon tashbitu. So, what? What does that mean in Latin?
The first
very good. I don't know if the Rambam knew Latin. Maybe
no, but this is Rav Chayes, and he was taught.
Oh, right. Oh, you're right. Very good. Good. Thanks for reminding me. Kamoshin amah b'Torah, ach b'yom harishon tashbitu se'or mibateichem. You have to get all of the chametz out of your house on the first day. So obviously, what is the question? The first day of what? The first day of Pesach? You're now going to start getting rid of the chametz, or does the text has to mean something else? Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense. Upeirusho, its explanation, hakavana al erev Pesach. The intent here is that it means that Yom Rishon means erev Pesach, and really, I mean, to the logical mind, there's no way around it. But we have this Kabbalah as to what it means. V'chein yad tachad yad. This yad, a hand for a hand. If somebody cuts off somebody's hand, you're going to punish them by cutting off their hand. Ein ayin tachad ayin, an eye for an eye. Peshuto shi yishalem lo kumgumulo mamash. If you read it just with the plain meaning, without any interpretation, it means that you're going to do to the perpetrator what he did to the victim. V'hakabalah tifaresh haynu tashlumei mamon. But through Kabbalah, we have the understanding that this means mamon. It means payment of damages in the form of money. Similarly, v'katzota et kapa, you will cut her hand off. Peshuto devarim k'kaktvam. You can understand this literally. V'hakabalah, but if you use the Kabbalah, this tradition, Tifaresh kan tashlumei mamon, it's restitution with money. And vagamba alav yumat, in the case of an ox that gores somebody, it was known to have gored somebody. Pishuto mita mamash, it looks like the owner of the ox also should be killed. Halacha ba'alpeh Tifaresh Hainu Mamon, and we'll explain also this punishment to be in terms of monetary damages. Af im ein lo mamon eino chayav mita, but if he can't pay the monetary damages, it doesn't mean that then he merits the death penalty. Alright, that is Chayo's introduction and explanation of the Rambam. And again, remember, the Chayos actually comes out stronger than the Rambam. The Rambam says in Chelek Rishon that these Perushim Mukubalim, I have Perushim that are received, Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's a remez, there's a hint of them in the text, whereas he comes out saying, we have the text, we don't understand. I don't think we're going to finish tonight.
Tomorrow night, same time?
We can. But if you take this home, it's all here. There's very little that I have to add to it. What I intended to do here, we'll read a few sections. There are two major sections where we have ayin tachat ayin in the Torah. One is in Shemos and one is in Vayikra. I just want to show you where they are, it turns out that if you're studying this issue or doing the Gemara in Baba Kama, it's very useful to have this right at your fingertips so that you don't have to jump around to find the Pasukim. But it begins, the first inyan begins in Mishpatim, in Pasha Mishpatim, Kaf Aleph. If you'll see it, we're on 6b. And I have it circled, line 5. V'chi yinatsu anashim v'nakfu isha hara. If two men are fighting and a pregnant woman gets sort of in the way, v'yatsu yiladeha, and she has an abortion as a result of the fighting.
A miscarriage.
Thank you. V'lo yiyah ason, but the woman is still intact, you know, more or less. Anoshe anesh ka'asheh yashit alav ba'al ha'isha. The husband will take the opponent to court and hopefully get a judgment against the perpetrator of this damage. V'natan ba'plilim, that there'll be a judgment and he'll have to pay damages. So, and then the text continues, v'im asoniyeh. But if the woman herself is harmed, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. So now we have this phrase, you will give a nefesh for a nefesh, a soul for a soul, but she's damaged, but it doesn't say, even the text here, asoniyah, not clear to me that it means that she died. But if she was hurt, then it's nefesh tachat nefesh, whatever that means. An ayin, and then the text goes on, ayin tachat ayin, an eye for an eye. Maybe what this is explaining what nefesh tachat nefesh could be. Ayin tachat ayin, an eye for an eye, shein tachat shein, a tooth for a tooth, yad tachat yad, a hand for a hand, regel tachat regel, a foot for a foot, kaviyah tachat kaviyah, a burning burning. Petza tachat petza. This is a wound which inflicts. Petza. I looked in Rashi. It's a cut in the skin. There's actually blood flowing, because from the word peretz, I think, pritza. It breaks open. Petza tachat petza. Chabura tachat chabura. Chabura is like a black and blue mark. It bleeds. Yeah, it bleeds under the skin. So there we have the phrase, v'chi yakeh ish et ayin avdo, or et ayin amato v'shachata. Then we get into all Indian what happens when a man damages his servant and what the consequences are. But then I want to go drop down to line 20. Im shor nigachu mitmol shel shom. If you have an ox that was goring and known to be goring, in this case, at least three times, v'hu ad b'va alav, and a warning was given to the owner of the ox by Bezdin, v'lo yishmerenu, and he did not guard that ox sufficiently, v'heimit ish or isha, and then the ox went out and actually killed somebody this time, hashur yisakel, then you're supposed to stone the ox. Vagamba alav yumat, and the owner should be killed. Now, by the way, there's an important Ramban right here on this, which I did not Xerox and include in this sheet.
No, it's right over here.
No, it's a different one. Which is that. Only where it says mot yumat, that means the death penalty. And where it says just yumat, it doesn't mean the death penalty. It means something else. And then the Ramban goes on and says, he lists various places where it says yumat, and we know that it is the death penalty. He says, don't cite those for me, because elsewhere it gives the exact same situation using the words mot yumat. All right, so that's a Ramban, and you can look it up at your own leisure on the right here in Mishpatim, and check me out on that.
Yeah, but you got to do that with the last Ramban.
All right, do you want me to skip?
Yeah.
All right.
Last page.
Rabbi, you want me to start from the beginning?
I want you to do what you want.
Last page without a number.
Last page, first side.
After
11B. Okay. Some of these are, you'll have my ink gave out on the printer here. So, but I think most of it is intact. We'll start with Halacha Beis. Nezek Ketzad. If somebody harms somebody else, how are the damages repaid? She'im kata yad chaveiro or raglo. Let's say somebody cut off somebody else's hand or leg. He was using these electric saws or something. Roin oto ilu hu eved nimkabashuk. We take this person and we evaluate the loss of the arm as if he were an eved kana'ani who would be sold in the shuk, and he would have a value. And he would have a value in, fully healthy, and he would have a different value, a lower value, if he were missing an arm. Kama haya yafeh, v'kama hu yafeh ata u'mashalem ha-pachat she-hefchita midamav. So the amount,
the loss,
the change in value of this eved. That's how you would evaluate the damages, and that would be ayin tachat ayin. Then the Rambam says, "Mipi ashmua lamdu shezena ma tachat l'shalem mamonhu." The word tachat means l'shalem, to pay mamon. And we know this mipi hashmua from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's a halacha, deraisa, that's how we understand those words. Yes, did I say that right? All right. And then I want you to see Gimel. Zeshen Emaba Torah. Now, it's very important. If you're making me do it this way, I got to say it. I got to include this. Kasha Yitain Mumba Adam. When somebody gives a wound to somebody, Kenyan Atenbo, and it then in Vayikra it says you'll do the same thing to that person. You're not going to do to him what he did to his friend or associate. But it would have been proper. In other words, I thought about this. You know, we have this image of this sorties. When somebody steals something, they cut off his hand, right?
Oh, the sorties, the ones today.
What?
Today?
Yeah, they do it today. Yeah. So we have this concept. But by our thinking, we say this is absurd. It's barbaric. But really, what we're saying, but if you analyze what we're really thinking, is the punishment does not fit the crime. Punishment does not fit the crime.
Because
you're stealing something and you're cutting off a hand. I mean, what?
No.
You
that's
could pay it back.
But if it's let's say,
I'm thinking now, ayin tachat ayin, or let's say, or yad by yad tachat yad. So what the Rambam here is saying is, it's ra'ui. It should have been that if you cut someone else's hand off, your hand should be cut off. Now, that would be ra'ui. It's proper. Now, there's a whole discussion as to why we don't do this. But in Beis Din Shelemala, it would be done this way.
Says Rabbi Soloveitchik.
and the Ibn Ezra, which we won't get to today.
But
and
Beis Din Shelemala,
because so the Ibn Ezra.
Well, Shemayim, correct. Therefore, we need a Kabbalah, Mina Shamayim, that says, Ayin Tachas Ayin is
Mama.
So when you come up, okay, good. So let's say, Yichlil, you were involved in a thing that a hand was cut off, and so you're going to pay the Tashlumim, right?
Right.
So what you're saying, what the Rav is saying is that, but when you go up to Shamayim, the Peranos there will be as
no.
if.
May I?
Go ahead.
You can
yeah.
do it.
No.
All right. He constantly repeated that the Ribono Shel Olam has a Shulchan Aruch, has a halacha for the world, for Bnei Odom. But he's got to abide by his own rules, by his own Shulchan Aruch.
Uh-huh.
Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the Rambam comes here, as Jerry will show you in Halacha Vov, to tell you that ra'ui, this is what should be proper. But that is only proper when you are able to judge in divine, absolute divine terms. Mortals cannot be that precise. And therefore I am telling you that even my Shulchan Aruch should be your Shulchan Aruch, and your Shulchan Aruch I abide by, okay? Here there has to be a difference. And I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu, go down and tell them, Ayin Tachas Ayin, because of mortal fallibilities, mm-hmm. has got to be the payment of money.
Ibn Ezra gives a very good example of this. He says, what happens if somebody reduces somebody else's eyesight by a third? Are you going to be, and this is the Ibn Ezra talking now in 1100, are you going to be able to reduce the perpetrator's eyesight by exactly a third and do it exactly that way? So there's a technological problem there. We just can't do it as human beings. And therefore we defer to Mammon.
It's
So let's, all right, so let's, but I wanted you to see that word, Ra'ui,
is where?
And I urge you to look at the Ibn Ezra, which I have in the sheets here, so you can read
where
that
I'll
show you later.
Okay.
The Ibn Ezra also uses the word Ra'ui,
right.
And I asked the rabbi if the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra had any connection with each other, and he couldn't identify it, and yet they're both using this word Ra'ui. Maybe it comes from a Gemara somewhere. Nevertheless, that gives us an idea of Bezdin Lamala and Bezdin Lamata. So in Halacha Vav, we're still on the same handout, just have to turn it around 90 degrees. The Afal Pi Shedavarim Elu Nirim Me'inyan Torah Shebechtav, that we have this Torah Shebechtav, and we see, you know, Ayin Tachar Ayin, V'chulam before Shim Hamipi Moshe Rabbeinu Mehar Sinai. These various citations that we have cited, we saw it in Tzvi Hirsch Chayos' rendition. Understanding of these, Yom HaRishon, was really Erev Pesach, right? Besides Ayin Tachar Ayin, and what pre-Eitz Hadar is, Mefor Shim HaMipi Moshe Rabbeinu Mehar Sinai. So this understanding of this text is a deraisa. Kulam halacha l'Moshe hem biyadeinu v'chazera u'i avotenu danim b'veit dino shel Yehoshua u'b'veit dino shel Shemuel haramati b'chol beit din u'beit din she'amdu miyamot Moshe Rabbeinu v'yad achshav. In other words, that these understandings and interpretations of the text have been handed down from Beit Din to Beit Din and from generation to generation, and the understanding, how would you say it? First of all, that it's a deraisa, that you have to understand it. Your obligation is to understand it this way is a deraisa.
Right, and the fact that in Gemara they derive ayin tachat ayin, or they explain ayin tachat ayin is a compensation, a monetary compensation, you can never say that is the Rabbonah. Because when he goes and he says that Yehoshua saw it, and then Yehoshua passed it on to Shmuel, what he is saying is that this is Torah that was received in Sinai. And it is not a Rabbonah. You know, we didn't become all of a sudden more humane in the days of the Gemara, in Baba Kama. But this is a d'oraisa for the meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu learned what those words in Torah Shebichtav mean. And it's a brilliant insight the way he says it.
But how do we know that theoretically something didn't come maybe from, let's say, Yoshua, the next generation after? In other words, just to say Rabbanan, or using that way, I mean, that's how we customarily use it. If it's in the Gemara or something else developed.
We don't know.
We don't know. In other words, what's recorded in the Mishnah, like even when we say Torah Moshe Mi-Sinai, you don't see that Lashon in the Mishnah. It's in the Gemara, where that phrase becomes popularized and debated in the Es Machzot. But in the Mishnah, we don't see it.
What phrase?
Torah Moshe Mi-Sinai. Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. That phrase doesn't, you won't find that in Mishnah. You will find that in Gemara. So, in other words, I mean, and that may have been also to strengthen the validation of the rabbis after the Mishnah.
Where did we get the idea of halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, or the phrase?
The phrase. Well, the phrase is...
So those are two different questions.
But what I'm saying is...
They may be the same question, but they're two different questions. One is a scholarly question, where is the first origination of the phrase halacha l'moshe mi-sinai? But the concept halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, the Rambam obviously feels there's no question that it's the second one of the five categories of Torah Shebaal
Peh. You know, one thing that's very interesting that you didn't have a chance to mention, that I noticed that it's a very interesting pshat approach, is that on all the other things it says yitin kofer, but on the killing somebody it says you can't,
right.
Lo yitin kofer nafsho. So if you understand pshat, you know, as being contextual, so it's very obvious. So to me, always the question is, that's why I like the Rilke that you stated, so what does the Torah kind of lead us down the gorgeous path? So they say it's because, you know, we should understand that if you just cut off somebody's hand, you know, it's not slavery. But it's still a question. What do you think?
I wasn't concentrating on what you said. So we'll continue that afterwards. Let me just wrap this up. The rabbi indicated it's time to end the talk. Obviously, this is a much longer topic than I anticipated. I couldn't time it. I urge you all. First, I want to just say conclude by saying, anybody who's capable of reading this, please take this home. I made multiple copies. It's Seamus, obviously. There are some incredible items that I've included in here that, unfortunately, we just can't get to in the amount of time. The last section on Achzariot and Rachamim, we say, you know, what they say. They say the Old Testament is the, wherever, what's the phrase? It's judgmental. It's vengeful. Whereas the New Testament is, you know, has rachamim and it's concerned with kindness and etc. So the fact is, when you look at the text of the Torah, number one, you have to have the right Kabbalah in order to know how to understand it. And then when the Torah does tell you to do certain things that maybe to your intellect is achzariot, it's fierce, it's ferocious, like destroying an ir hanidachat, and I have that section here, so you may think it's cruelty. So the Rabbanim dealt with that topic. And furthermore, there's an incredible midrash that I quoted here about Shaul, yeah, where first he goes out to destroy Amalek and he leaves the king standing, and then later on in his life he goes to the the Ir HaKohanim, and he kills off the 80 Kohanim, the 80 families. And the Rabbanim says, well, how do you weigh Amalek versus the Kohanim? The Kohanim were not as bad as Amalek. You can't even make that distinction. But in the case of Nov, he destroyed the entire city. In the case of Amalek, he had Rachmanis on them.
And it was because he thought so, he shall do David.
That
so, was it.
There
wasn't even a question.
Read Steinfeld's on that. Steinfeld's is phenomenal on that.
But I...
Steinfeld has a whole analysis that's brilliant.
But the important thing here is that, you know, even I haven't covered the entire topic, that you're tuned into it, you have the sources here, it becomes yours as well as mine, and we can, you know, all of us in due time relearn these sections. You call me up, I'll be glad to. I practiced most of it. I got stuck on one Yerushalmi, which I actually didn't learn properly, but so, with that, let me just put on my coat. Yes, it's very, very important. But I think it's just too much for us to sit much longer, and it wouldn't be right. So, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakot Et Yisrael, Lefichach Yevalehem Torah, Mitzvot Shenema, Adonai Chavetz Leman Sitko Yadbil Torah V'yadia, Yitkarei Al V'yitkarei Shemei Rabbah, V'yalma Devachi V'tei V'yam Nichmachutei, V'chaye Echonu V'yam Echonu V'chaye Dechor Beit Yisrael, V'agala V'zman Kariv V'mru Amen. Heshmei Rabba Mubarak Li Olam Olam El Maya Yitparech Yishtabach Yitpeh Vitamein Yitanasei Yitadav Yitalav Yitalal Shemei Tegut Shabbat Rechu Le'elam In Kol Bechata Vishivatat Ushpachat Avnechamata Adam Iran Bialma Vimu Amen Al Yisrael Vel Rabbanam Vial Tamidein Vial Kol Tamidei Tamidein Vial Kol Man Diaskin Biraita Diba Hadra Adem Vida Bechol Atav Yadata Yehelahanu lachon shlama rabba chinam v'chista v'rachnu m'chayinu v'chinam v'zainu v'vichay v'kanam in kadam ovedu v'dishmaya v'imu amein yehi shlama rabba min shemaya v'chayam aleinu v'yakol Yisrael v'imu amein ose shalom b'mamav hu yase shalom aleinu v'yakol Yisrael v'imu amein
shkosh ha'oven and aliyah
amein.